Good morning. I'm thankful to have another opportunity to speak. I'm sad it's because Brother John is out this morning, but we do hope that they will be back with us very soon. But in the meantime, let's be turning to Psalm 107 this morning. We'll begin by reading verses 17 through 21. We want to consider this morning the work of the Lord in his chastening with us. Not necessarily a pleasant-sounding topic, but yet we'll see it's something that we all need to be considering very diligently and also be thankful for the Lord's work that he is doing with his children. Here in Psalm 107, beginning in verse 17, it says here, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of man." So we see him starting out here in verse 17, talking about the trouble that the Lord brings on those because of their transgression and their iniquities. And so we do need to be reminded that this is one of the ways that the Lord works with those that he's trying to bring to him and turn back to him. And so when we are foolish and turn away from him, he does use different situations to chasten us and to bring trouble. And we see the result that should have on us. As we see that trouble, it should cause us to humble ourselves. And as it says there in verse 19, that we should cry to the Lord in our trouble, realizing that there is a reason for that trouble. And he goes on even further in verse 21 to point out that we need to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. That goodness involves both bringing those afflictions to start with that causes us to turn back to him, and it also involves that deliverance that the Lord gives to those that are praying to him in those times of trouble. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12 now and read verses 5 through 11, where he reminds us of our approach and attitude that we need to have as the Lord works with us in chastening us. Beginning in verse 5, he says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So here he's speaking of this chastening of the Lord that we need to be expecting. And this word chastening here is literally tutorage or training. And we see over and over through these verses how he uses that example of a father chastening his son. And he's using that that relationship there to remind us that that's how the Lord is working with us. And there in verse 5, he points out that at the time that it's happening that it is grievous. But he tells us not to despise that chastening. And we remember what we read earlier there in Psalm where he says that we need to praise the Lord for his goodness. And that was in the context of bringing that trouble that caused the one to turn back to the Lord. And so we also need to recognize that there are those times that we fail and the Lord is going to bring chastening upon us. And we need to recognize that chastening even when it's grievous, and that we don't despise that chastening. He tells us there in verse 5 that we are not to faint when we are rebuked of Him. So there's an encouragement for us that, yes, it may be something that's difficult. And those here who are, most of us have been kids, and there's some here that are still kids, but we know it's not a pleasant thing to be chastened by our parents. And it is something that is grievous at the time, but there's a purpose in it that we can understand, and we can respect and reverence those that are bringing that upon us, understanding that they're trying to bring about our good. So verse 7, he tells us we need to endure that chastening, and that he, again, is dealing with us as with his children. And, of course, this also, as a side note, reminds those here who are parents that we need to be, just as our Heavenly Father is bringing this chastisement upon us to correct us and to bring us into the right way, we need to be doing the same with our own children. This is the model that the Lord has established, both with our earthly families and with Himself in how He works with us. Verse 9 there mentions that we get that correction from our earthly fathers, and that it's for our good. And then in verse 10, the Lord points out the good that He wants to bring about in us through His chastening. He says He wants us, every one of us, to be partakers of His holiness. And there at the end of verse 11, He says if we take that chastening and we respond to it in the right way, that it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So the Lord is trying to direct us in ways of righteousness and holiness that will ultimately result in us being with Him. That's His nature, and He's trying to form that nature in us. And so we'll look now at some examples here in the Old Testament of the Lord's chastening at work. And we want to note here some of the physical ways that the Lord brings about that chastening. And it might cause us to think about some of the things that we see in the world today and also in our own lives, and consider what is the Lord, what has the Lord used in the past to bring about chastening? And do we see some of those things today? Do I see things in my life that I should recognize as a form of chastening, so that I can respond to it in the right way and that I can humble myself and turn to Him? And so we want to consider how He is orchestrating these things. And as we read through this passage, we should pay attention to how many times we hear the word hearken, listen. We all might be reminded of us, again, dealing with our own children, where we're trying to tell them, listen to what I'm saying. Well, the Lord here is saying this to His children. And so we do need to listen, and we need to also see in this passage as we read through it that the fact that we need to respond in humility, that we do need to listen and submit and have that humility so that we will do and change what's needed. So it's a bit of a lengthy reading, but there's a lot here for us to learn. We'll, Leviticus 26, we'll begin here now in verse 13. Here he is warning his children, the children of Israel, what he is going to do depending on their response to him. Here he says, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursues you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, So notice here how he's bringing a degree of trouble upon them, and some of the particular means where he's bringing these plagues and bringing their enemies upon them and causing them to their work to be for naught, in vanity. Notice these things that he's initially bringing, and then here in verse 18 he says, if they will not hearken unto him, that he's going to bring even more, so that they will get to the point where they respond. And so he continues on in verse 19, and he says, I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield or increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate. And if you will not be reformed by me in these things, but will walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet 7 times for your sins. So notice here in verse 23 how he's telling them he wants them to take heed to these things and humble themselves and to be reformed. He goes on in verse 25 and says, I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered under the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in 1 oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. And then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lies desolate. It shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts, into the lands of their enemies, and the sound of the shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursues. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were, before a sword when none pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. So notice one of the things that the Lord is doing with the nation here is that he is diminishing their power to where they have no power to stand before their enemies. And so this is one of the means that the Lord is warning them that he will use against them if they do not respond to those earlier means of his chastisement. In verse 38, he says, and you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemy shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. And also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespasses, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I have also walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. So we see the Lord here pronouncing very many terrible things that he's going to bring against the land here because of their iniquity. But notice the heart that the Lord is trying to bring about through that chastisement. There in verse 40, he says, if they confess their iniquity. So he's trying to bring them to the point where they will confess that they have indeed fallen and not followed the Lord's ways. And he goes on in verse 41 and talks about the fact that if they will humble their uncircumcised hearts and accept the punishment of their iniquity. So if they will recognize this, these things that the Lord is bringing, then he will respond to them, and he says he will remember that covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we need to have that response when we see chastisement in our personal lives, and hopefully it won't be at the level of some of these things that he's bringing against the whole nation, but certainly when we consider this world and we see some of the things that are happening in the world amongst the nations, we see very similar things that he's mentioned here. And it should cause us to be asking, you know, is the Lord trying to send a message here to these nations for all of the evil that has been going on for so long? And we do need to consider, and hopefully, you know, we all are going to continue to serve as lights in this world, but we do live in a world that lies in wickedness, and we need to recognize that wickedness and recognize that there, just as we see here, there will be times where the Lord is going to cause things to happen to bring about some change and chastening to the ones that he is working with. Remember, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. He's working with the entire world, hoping that there will be those throughout this world that will turn to him to serve him and fulfill that purpose that he has for them as his creation. So he's working with the entire world, and he is orchestrating these things that we are seeing about us. And we should take note of these things at that level, but also as the things happen within our lives, there are situations that the Lord uses as well to bring about chastisement, to point out to us that we've done something that's wrong, and that we need to recognize that chastisement, as he says here, and accept our punishment, not rebel against that punishment, but to accept it and to humble ourselves. Now let's turn to 2 Samuel 24 and look at another passage here where we see the Lord punishing Israel, and we see a response here from David that we need to consider. 2 Samuel 24, beginning, we'll note in verse 1 here that it says, "The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against him to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" So the Lord at this time was very angry with Israel's iniquity. And at this particular point in time, he used David as the cause for the wrath that he was going to bring about. And he moved David to go and number the people. And we notice here David's understanding that he had done wrong. In verse 10, it says, "David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, 'I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant. Take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" So David here acknowledged, and as we read earlier in the earlier passage, we need to confess our iniquities and recognize when we fall short and are not doing the Lord's will. And we need to confess that. And here David has said, "I have done very foolishly." Now the Lord nevertheless brought punishment against Israel, and he offered David three different things that he would bring before them. And David in verse 14 says, "Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great." And so the Lord did bring about a pestilence that destroyed 70,000 in Israel as a result, and he in bringing that pestilence. But we see here David's attitude. Remember that one that the Lord gives testimony in the New Testament was a man after God's own heart. And we see that humility that David expressed in realizing that he had sinned greatly. And that should remind us of what the Lord tells all of us in 1 John 1 and verse 9, where he says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And of course, we could spend a whole other several lessons looking at how David was desiring to have that clean heart that was purged from iniquity. But that begins by humility and recognizing when we have problems in our hearts that need to be corrected, and when we realize that we have iniquity in our hearts that needs to be removed. And we see David here as one, again, who was somebody that was after God's heart. We see him responding with that kind of humility and being willing to confess his faults to his God, and wanting to turn and to do right and to be purged from those things that were in his heart. And so we need to have that attitude towards these chastisements that the Lord brings upon us. And there could be many, many different forms of that chastisement. We might be reminded of what the Lord says in Romans 13 about the government, where he says in verse 1 there, that there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. We're reminded that the Lord has set up all of these governmental authorities in this world. And what is one of the things that he's accomplishing by doing that? Well, in verse 4, he reminds us, he says, the one here in the government, he says, he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he bears not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So the Lord has established these authorities, and one of the things he does with those authorities is to punish those that have done evil. And of course, if they respond in the right manner to that punishment, it will cause them to change. So we can recognize even our own laws that we have in our nation. God has set in place even to cause us to respond to those laws to do what is right and good. 1 Peter 4, verses 15 and 16, we often read this in the context of suffering as a Christian, but as a side note there in verse 15, he says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters." Well, how do they suffer? Well, it's because of the punishment that comes upon them for doing such things. So the Lord is bringing about chastisement and punishment to those that are doing wrong. And if that is us and we recognize that, we need to respond to it in the right way. And of course, we alluded to this earlier, but the children and the parents, we need to recognize that there is that parental authority that the Lord has established. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And, of course, there's many, many passages that we should be familiar with, such as Proverbs 22:15, where it talks about foolishness being bound in the heart of a child, and that we need to use that rod of correction to drive that foolishness from that child. Of course, that chastisement is not very pleasant to the child when he's receiving that rod of correction. But we understand, just as we've been reading these passages up till now, that the purpose of that is to cause them to humble themselves and to respond in obedience and to doing right. And so we need to consider these means, different means that the Lord has given for us to recognize and receive that chastisement. Let's turn to Haggai now, and we're getting close to the end here, so wrap this up shortly. Haggai 1, we need to, as we'll see from this passage, we need to each be considering our own ways. And we'll see here in Haggai, and we'll just look at a couple of verses through this passage here, but the Lord is sending Haggai to the people to tell them that it is time for them to do the Lord's work, and that they have been busy doing their own work, but not the Lord's work. And so he sends Haggai here. And in verse 4, beginning in verse 4, he says, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lies waste?" So they had left the Lord's house to just lie waste. And so in verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And so that is something that we all need to be doing, is considering our ways. Here he tells them, "You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earns wages earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Any of us ever feel like that? And then he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So what is the Lord using here to tell them to consider their ways? Well, there's a lot of physical, specific, different physical situations, whether it's them laboring and not really yielding the results from that labor, earning wages and just seeing those wages as if they're put into a bag with holes, and so on here. These are all outward physical things that the Lord is using, and, you know, a lot of times we might ascribe that to something else, right? We might just ascribe it to, well, that's just the way it is. But we need to be on the lookout here. And as he says, we need to be considering our ways and recognizing, is this something that the Lord is bringing about to chasten me and get me to go in a different direction than I'm currently going? And so we do need to consider the situations that we're in and what's happening to us, and whether this is something that the Lord is using to teach us and train us up in the right ways. 1 Corinthians 11, he notes this here in particular also in relation to the Lord's Supper. When we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be reminded that this is also a very important time when we come together to eat of the bread and drink of the blood, that he tells us part of what we're supposed to be doing during that time is judging ourselves. We're supposed to be reminded of Jesus and of his example that he's left for us. But at the same time, we're also supposed to be judging ourselves. Well, what are we judging ourselves against? Well, obviously, it's against that example that we have in Christ, and we need to be considering, am I really following in his steps as the Lord intends? And so there in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 11, he says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, a lot of times if we will judge our own selves and recognize and be willing to humble ourselves and confess our faults, it's going to avoid the need for the Lord to bring about chastisement. Maybe it's no chastisement or a little bit, not a lot of chastisement if we're willing to recognize and see or judge ourselves according to God's word and recognize the truth about ourselves. And so we all do need to be examining ourselves and considering whether we need to be making changes in our lives. Let's go to Psalm 119 now, and we will end here this morning. I'm sorry, let's go to one other one. Psalm 38. Psalm 38, just to note David again. We should note here how David recognized when the Lord was chastening him. Psalm 38, verses 1 and 2, he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore. So David was observing the things that were happening. And who did David acknowledge and give credit to for the chastening that was happening to him? Well, he said there, your arrows stick fast in me, and your hand presses me sore. And so just as David, we should respond in humility and recognize when the Lord is chastening us. In Psalm 119, we'll end in this passage here. Psalm 119, we'll begin in verse 65. And again, as Brother John, I think it was last week, noted, we don't know for sure who the author of Psalm 119 is, who the Lord used to inspire this through. But it certainly seems as it could be David. But if not, it's certainly someone with a heart that is very similar to David's here. And we'll see that by these words that we read. Beginning in verse 65, he says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And then down in verse 75, he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. So we see all through these verses that we've just read where he says, you have afflicted me. And he says, I was going astray there in verse 67 before you afflicted me. And what does he do in verse 8? He says, you are good and doest good. So it's not a coincidence that he talks about the afflictions that the Lord brings to him in one verse. And the very next verse, he talks about the Lord's goodness. This is very similar to what we read at the very beginning of the lesson this morning, where it said there that we should praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of man. And remember, that was in the context of bringing chastisement against man to cause him to turn. And here we see this being expressed again, that this one here is saying, you are good and do good. And verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And finally there in verse 75, he says, you in faithfulness have afflicted me. You know, it is a difficult subject for us to consider chastisement. That's not a pleasant topic. But we've seen here several times where we see different ones acknowledging the Lord's goodness and here the Lord's faithfulness in afflicting us. The Lord does want good for us, and he wants us to be with him for eternity. And he's working with all of us to bring that about. And so we need to be reminded that he is doing that, and that should be an encouraging thought to us, that the Lord is good and he's faithful and he's working with us. And sometimes we need that chastisement to set us right and get us on the path that is going to lead to him. So I hope we will all be encouraged to consider the things in all of our own lives and how we need to respond to those different situations. And I hope that we all will consider how the Lord is working with each of us and be encouraged by that, and that we will all have that our hearts set to listen and consider our ways and to follow him and respond to him in the way that he would have us to. If there are any here this morning that need the prayers of the church for that or for any other reason, we're about to stand and sing here in a minute, but we would be happy for you to come forward to make that need known. Or if there are any here this morning that had that desire to put on Christ and to begin to run that race, to begin that pathway, down that pathway that leads to him, we would ask you to do so as we all stand together and sing this morning.